But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Excellent song choice, Jimmy. Big fan of The Who. I enjoyed talking with Appel. We went a little bit long, but I thought he was having a fairly nuanced conversation about Chris Greer and the Dolphins and the state of the franchise. And I think he was kind of right on when he said there are, and I get it, fans are fanatics, but there are people just, you know, with pitchforks and tiki torches who are outraged at the thought of Chris Greer being back. And if you do look at stuff in a vacuum, I get it, man. It's a rebuild. And you have nothing to show for it. You have no playoff victories, which would be barometer number one. So I do get outrage. My point is you've got to put some of the context in, and you have to decipher if you're closer to the promised land or if you're closer to the basement. And I think you're closer to the promised land. So that's where I stand on that.
Yeah, but gotta move some pieces, Hawk. Like, that's the whole thing. And we joked about it with Appel, like the big three, which, to your point, we're not talking about LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. We're just saying the most important pieces of a franchise are the head coach, the quarterback, and the GM. I just don't know if I can see us moving towards where we want to move, even though, to your point, I'm with you. I think we're closer to a winning a playoff game than we are to being a first pick at a draft. I'm with you on that. But I just don't know if this threesome, I don't know if it's a threesome, that sounds nasty, but this trifecta is the answer to our question. I really doubt that.
Who's the Dolphins MVP this season?
Zach Sealer.
I was going to say Calais Campbell, which is
Sealer or Campbell are the two guys that pop into my head.
And two defensive tackles are the best players on our team?
Well, no. I think that speaks to injury and an aberration of a season. I really do.
You have one of the most talented wide receivers to touch a football field in a long time.
And he's not even in the conversation.
And we wouldn't even bring up Tyreek this season.
Because last season, who was the Dolphins MVP? It's Tua by a mile, right?
Tua. Yeah. He played 17, and you know, you could argue. We were arguing. We did it. Was it Tyreek or is it Tua? Jalen Waddle had a down year. Raheem Mostert wasn't even playing in games. He led the NFL in rushing touchdowns last year. Like, this was a down year for a lot of players. And I would put that back on Mike McDaniel then.
And injuries.
Not injuries.
You have to, though. You have to.
And
in other words, this Heat season, you're going to end up subtracting Jimmy Butler for an extended period of time. Maybe longer, maybe not. Who knows? Is that on Spo? Or do you have to give it the context of you lost your main guy?
Well, is that on Riley? Because to your point, did Riley deal with this Jimmy situation correctly, or was he bullheaded and old school where these young players aren't, or these players nowadays aren't dealing with that old school approach of,
or is it just is what it is?
And dribble. Like,
yeah, it doesn't have to be someone's fault. It could just be is what it is.
But to that point, Hawk, there has to, I think that's the bigger, there, do we have to blame someone?
Right.
Like, is there somebody always to blame?
I mean, obviously, Stephen Ross doesn't think you have to blame anyone. He knows the season did not end the way that he had anticipated, and he's not happy with it. Yet, he is not blaming anyone. Because if you're going to blame anyone, and you're the guy who writes the checks, you get rid of them. Yeah. It's an easy way to blame someone. Hey, it's this guy's fault. You're gone. And he's not blaming anyone, which, you know, again, says to me that he believes it was, you know, just a confluence of events that happened that caused the outcome of this season to be what the outcome was.
And I'm swinging because we've discussed this now a couple of days. I'm swinging. Like I said, I think Tua is a very good quarterback, top 10. I'm swinging between Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel. My thing with McDaniel is that you can't produce over 11 points a game if your starting quarterback goes down. And my thing with Chris Greer is that you kept Skylar Thompson around way too long and you couldn't evaluate that he cannot run a team, he cannot lead an offense, and now we're dealing with Tim Boyle throwing the ball out of bounds on 4th and 8 to lose a game. Like, it's somewhere in the middle, but just kind of I hate it because even in this segment, Solana's going to say something real goofy, and I'm going to regret this. But there's going to be a point in every season where they have to go out there and beat a good team. There's going to be a point in every season with Tua's past, Hawk, with Tua's track record, that he's going to be out. And either Mike McDaniel has to be able to figure out how to score points, or Chris Greer has to put somebody in position to be able to do that and put a line in front of them where if we have to run the ball, we have to run the ball. But we can't do that right now. I think the structure is messed up.
No, it's fair. And it's inarguable. I mean, that's one of Solana's points that happens to be inarguable. They cannot beat an elite team. There is no caveat to that. So I get that. That's fair.
It's why I understand what you're saying, Hawk, and I don't think you're wrong. When you say that, you know, fans look at it in a vacuum and they come with their pitchforks, I'm not necessarily coming with my pitchforks. I think I'm approaching this from a very rational place, truly, because this is the state of our franchise right now. You are right when you say the team today is closer to contending than they were in the Gase era, is closer to contending than they were, no offense, Crowder, but in the Sperano era. I believe that. And certainly in the Cam Cameron or Joe Philbin era.
Cam Cameron.
Because your quarterback is better, right? But the state of the franchise is this. Your quarterback is probably going to miss games. We know that because Chris Greer again today stated the importance of finding the right backup quarterback. So already, the most important position, you're approaching it as we have to expect him to not be available, so we need to prioritize the guy who's going to replace him. That is not a good position to be in. And then the guy who's in charge of picking the players has already failed to do that once. So now we're giving him another year. And as far as contending goes, you might be closer, but in year 3 of a window we thought would close this year, by the way, when they signed Tyreek, year 3, you paid Tyreek Hill again this past offseason. You paid Jalen Waddle. You paid the head coach. You paid Jalen Ramsey. You paid Tua Tagovailoa. You doubled down on this group, and you regressed massively. That is a bad situation to be in as an organization entering year 7 again, with the guy calling the shots.
The only rebuttal I'll give you on that, and again, this is a hard rebuttal to make after the way the season ended, but they had to make financial decisions, right? They couldn't keep everyone. So let me submit to you that they didn't extend Tyreek Hill. They didn't give him a new contract. You saw how it ended this season with a new contract. Imagine this season was transpiring and he didn't have a new contract. Disaster. Jalen Waddle, same thing. Tua, probably the same thing. And so you have to make hard decisions. You go, okay, we can't bring back Andrew Van Ginkel because we know we need happy players. And again, the Heat, they made a decision. We're not going to give the extension to Jimmy Butler. And guess what happened? I think it was Ethan at 5 Reasons. Heat don't extend Jimmy Butler, and he makes it a disaster, and he's gone from the team. Dolphins do extend Tyreek Hill. It's a disaster, and he wants out. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. You know, it is funny how they both, like, it's two separate approaches, but I would submit to you, again, part of the reasoning that they decide to keep certain guys, not keep certain guys, is maybe they do see the writing on the wall, hey, if we don't take care of Tyreek, he can make things a real big headache. And if he makes things a real big headache, everyone's going to fall into line and it's going to become a bigger and bigger headache. So maybe they tried to, you know, mitigate that possibility, even though that seems to have happened anyway. But I would say, you know, again, it's a balancing act. They don't have limitless bank accounts because of the salary cap.
And just, I guess, perpetuating that point, Riley is an old school, hard nosed guy. Spo's taking on that personality of hard nosed, old school guy. No, we're gonna do what's best for the organization, and you do what we say. Jimmy went crazy. Mike McDaniel's the nicest guy in the world, player friendly. Chris Greer is very pleasant and tries to make people happy. And Tyreek Steele did the same thing Jimmy did. So what approach works? Is it the hard-nosed old school, or is this new age coach thing? No, it's the player. It's the human being that you're trying to negotiate and get to play. And I don't know what the right answer is to that.
Well, there is no right answer because it's like so, you know, again, two completely opposite approaches with Jimmy and Tyreek, and they both burned the team at the end.
I would personally go with the Riley Spo approach. Because sooner or later, these players are going to get old and they're not a commodity anymore. They're going to.
Okay, but in the meantime, you're going to blow a 17-point lead in Sacramento in the fourth quarter.
Every player is one day closer.
I'm just telling you, you're making that trade-off. You're making that trade-off. You're going, hey, trade-off. I'm going to take a hard line. And also, we're going to get blown out by Utah and follow that up with blowing a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter at Sacramento.
And you're talking about a vacuum. Let's get out of the vacuum where the hard-nosed approach got us Shaq and Wade championships. The hard-nosed approach got us the Big Three with two championships. And the hard-nosed approach got us Jimmy Butler with two final appearances.
I'm not arguing it. It's my same thing with the Marlins. Give me the 97 and the 2003 World Series and the sell-off afterwards. I'm not going to complain about it, but many people will.
Yeah.
And that's what'll stick in their head more than the two World Series championships. And so, yeah, the Heat, I'm down with everything they do because they've delivered me more championships than how many teams in the league over that period of time? I mean, they've got to have the most, if not second most, so I'll take that in exchange for what's going on the last couple of games, because I'll take that any day, every day, but many fans will not because they live in the exact very moment that's going on right then.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's do headlines here for the 3 o'clock hour with Solana, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
The Miami Heat do play tonight after losing in double overtime yesterday. The worst part about that game, DeMar DeRozan goes off in double overtime.
My guy went off. He looked like the DeMar DeRozan that I argued for a season ago.
Let's bring him in.
Ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous.
Cade Cunningham, I see, led the Pistons to a win over the Trailblazers. Come from behind rally.
Might be talking to him soon.
That's why I brought it up. It wasn't a random Cade Cunningham news flash. I just know that you're. Where are you?
Manhattan.
Manhattan?
Wow.
Yeah, Manhattan.
Not Jersey, huh?
No, they brought me out here to the city.
Look at you.
Wow.
It's cold as hell up here.
Oh, that's right, because it was chilly here.
When I landed last night, it was 19 degrees. Who wants to live in 19?
Woo. Too cold for me, man.
Rex Ryan, because he interviewed with the New York Jets today for their head coaching position.
Yeah, fair point.
I heard Ben Johnson or him. I would go with Rex. I think Rex fits New York better than Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I say, you know, swing for a home run there with Rex. At least you're going to have
some fun, some tough. We were talking about culture. Like, he's setting it up. Ben Johnson going to do. Take him to the bounce house. Get Rex.
But haven't we seen Rex Ryan already? Like, That's what I love about it.
Two AFC championship games with Mark Sanchez at the
helm. And he's not coaching my team, though. I'm all for it. I think it's great.
The guy's just been cycled around the AFC East, New York, Buffalo, and it's the same act. And then after 4 years, you have one playoff appearance, maybe a win, and then after four years,
get a goddamn snack.
Everybody's upset.
He's a big fan of Dirty Water hot dogs.
Love it.
And feet, right?
He does love too. Feet. He was on the pivot. He talked about it. He was like, feet get him.
Yeah.
I don't get
this
that.
This thing. I say it all the time. Know your wheelhouse.
But feet, Hawk, feet?
I don't get it. But there are people who love feet. You know, Boomerang, the movie Boomerang, they put, right, a high value on a good-looking foot. Not that they're talking about being turned on by feet the way that Rex Ryan is, but in Boomerang, if you have nasty, gnarled feet, that's a huge negative when it comes to beauty. I don't care. The foot just does not matter to me.
God, it's nasty.
It's so true, though, man. Like, you see a beautiful person, a woman or a man, and they
A
woman or a man.
A woman or a man. And they have an ass foot like Crowder does, Hawk.
But who looks at someone's foot? Honestly, if you didn't know that Crowder had an ass foot, would you have ever looked at his foot?
If he didn't have his shoes on, yeah, I would.
Yeah, I don't look at people's feet, but I don't look at people's eyes either. You know that about me. Like, I don't, I can't tell you what I'm really into, though.
I need to know now. What's your thing, Hawk? Everybody has something. I'm a booty guy.
I like Yoo-Hoo and McRibs.
I like good old-fashioned rump. You look at my feet, Solana?
Yeah, I look at people like that. It's not like I'm focused on people's feet. My point is, if somebody has gross feet, their nails are long, they're not groomed, that is something that would stand out to me. It would.
Like what?
Yeah, Lori doesn't like that if my fingernails get too long. And it's not even that, it's just under the covers. If my nail scratches her, oh, your feet are disgusting. But I do not let my toenails grow long or my fingernails. I think that's gross as well.
I bite my fingernails.
Ooh, that's disgusting.
Awful.
Really?
Yeah.
Just a little trim.
Like, you really bite that? Like, I don't know what biting the thing. Like, I've heard it, you know, forever. Don't bite your fingernails. But you, like, literally bite the nail off?
You catch one of the tips on the edge, and then you pull it off all the way around. Then you
so disgusting.
That's not disgusting. It's
with your mouth?
No. With my anus.
But like, that's what I'm saying. So you put the fingernail in your mouth.
Like this. So you'll just.
And you really gnaw it off?
It's not gnawing. Like, you just. And then you kind of turn it.
That can't be good for
you. Bathe yourself with your, like a cat. You lick your hands and then clean your face.
My whiskers. Yeah, I wipe my whiskers as well.
Crowder once admitted to biting off his toenails. That was
His admission. I still have nightmares over that segment.
When I was flexible enough, I'd bite my toenails.
I also gave my brother an enema, so I don't really have a place to stand on.
I never saw The Godfather up until a couple of years ago.
Go to hell.
That was tell the truth.
But yes, I do look at your feet, Crowder. I would. I like feet. Mm. Yeah, that's something that stands out to me about a person, how they keep their toenails kept, and if they don't, then I don't know, just disgusting.
I do look at fingernails sometimes on guys. If a guy jumps out at me that he's got really long fingernails, and some guys do, I don't get that.
Can't be trusted, huh?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's unfair on my foot because I have the skin graft on my foot.
Right.
And then my ring toe is black, I don't know why. I don't know what's going on with my ring toe.
Like and then flack, like it's falling off, like it's got no blood flow.
It's like dark. It's like dark brown. I don't know why the toenail turns brown. Mm. Then I have a bunion on the left foot.
Right. Sounds like you have a fungus, some sort of fungus.
Hmm. Should I dip it in something?
Yeah. Yeah. Anything. Just go dip it in anything.
Yeah, somebody points out this is becoming a trend. And I know what you're going to say, that people have been doing this for a long time to do cocaine. But specifically, this has been a trend in the Latino community, I've noticed.
The one finger, the nail?
The pinky nail, long.
That's a cocaine user.
But no, but it's not. Like, now it's becoming a trend where it doesn't necessarily indicate that the person is snorting lines in the back of a bathroom. Like, they just think that's cool for some reason. I don't know why. Mm.
That, if it's the one finger and it's the pinky, that's a cocaine user.
Yeah. That's booger sugar.
Yep.
Well, anyways, Rex Ryan has interviewed with the New York Jets coach. Chris
Good
Greer.
Luck, Rex.
Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel met with the media today. I know we discussed it most of the show, but regarding Tua Tagovailoa, quote from Chris Greer, he needs to be available. He needs to protect himself. Not being available for taking chances and risks is unacceptable to us. He really laid that out today very blatantly, which is Tua needs to be healthy more often.
I would rebut Chris by saying you need to protect him.
Yeah, it's a little bit, again, I have to see the press conference because that strikes me as similar to the Jimmy Butler call out by Pat Riley at the end of last season. And I don't think I just don't think they're equivalent because for me, Tua, in my opinion, tries to play. Now, if he's incapable of playing, when you're on injured reserve, you're incapable of playing. But and if you're medically ruled out like he was the last two games of the season, that's different than taking maintenance days or being cautious with your own. You know, I really would love to know the inside story and if it was meant as a call out. Pat Riley's was obviously meant as call out. It was a message to Jimmy Butler. Period, end of story. He did it publicly. And I wonder if that's the same situation with Chris Greer today or if it reads a little differently than it was intended.
The Florida Panthers did lose yesterday to the Colorado Avalanche.
Not to interrupt you, but it could be something as simple as he's intimating we need to do a better job protecting him because we need Tua out there more than six games. You know, he can't be missing six games.
Yeah.
Maybe he's intimating that's on us rather than calling him out as saying, hey, why aren't you available?
But that's why my rebuttal to Chris Greer was going to be you need to protect him by solidifying his offensive line and having guys that are capable,
right?
Not starting damn Liam Eikenberg all these games. But also the thing with Tua about he needs to protect himself. Is he talking about him diving forward on that fourth down when he got put to sleep by DeMar Hamlin's forearm? Like, that's just a football play.
Right.
Like, what do they want him to do? So, I just watched. They had a Josh Allen highlight, and I'm not comparing Tua to Josh Allen in any shape, form, or fashion because Josh Allen's a damn defensive end. But, like, Josh Allen is at the 10-yard line getting hit and dragging defenders into the end zone where you see Jalen Hurts. He's in the concussion protocol going into the wild card game. Like, it's a part of being a quarterback of trying to make a play, and do they want him just to – like, we joked about it when he got hurt, just fall down. If anybody gets around you, fall down. But to the point about his last concussion, it was fourth down. I need to get a first down for my team to win the game. So, like, I would rather you put it on yourself, Chris Greer, to protect him than say he needs to protect himself. He can't sign. He can't pick up free agent offensive linemen. He can't draft offensive linemen. You need to put that team around him that makes him great. And if you look at the top teams in the league, they all have great offensive lines. KC, great offensive line. The Eagles have probably the best offensive line. Detroit Lions have an amazing offensive line. Look at the teams that are Super Bowl favorites and their trenches. It starting with the offensive line is always going to be dominant first-round picks, Pro Bowl players, and that's what Chris Greer needs to worry about. Stop talking about Tua. Worry about you setting up this line in front of him.
Hog, I watched it, man. He called him out. Simple as that.
Yeah, I didn't see it. That's right, because I really don't know.
There was even a point, and I think it was after Joe Schatt asked the question later in the press conference, where he said, like, hey, live to see another down. No more of this putting yourself in harm's way.
It was directed at Tua, to Tua, about Tua.
The first instance when he's asked about it, I thought was a fair point by him. Hey, unacceptable that our starting quarterback is missing 6.5 games. That's the difference between us making the playoffs and not making the playoffs, which I think was fair, but enough of a call out, which was, hey, it's kind of on both of us. Double down on it. Like I told you earlier at the end, where he specifically talked about Tua kind of rolling out and trying to make plays happen, and that he admires that about him because of how good of a competitor he is, but that at the end of the day, live to see another down. We need you available. He called him out. There's no question about it. I don't know if it was as blatant as Pat Riley telling Jimmy Butler to shut your mouth, but he certainly drove the point home today that Tua has to take care of himself better. Heat tonight, Warriors 10 p.m. Panthers lost to the Colorado Avalanche last night, 3-1.
Hey, what happened in that Badenhop performance last night? Because I couldn't stay up for that.
Oh, the Hopper? Yeah. You missed it?
Yeah, well, 2 a.m.
Yeah, right around the time the Heat game finished, turned over to Sunshine Sports Network, and I watched the Hopper go 4.5 innings, 4 Ks. What a performance, man.
I couldn't even sleep last night after watching DeMar DeRozan on that display.
Man, Crowder Hawk is texting me after about DeMar DeRozan. Imagine me leaving the studio at 3 in the morning, driving to Southwest Kendall. It's a 45-minute drive, getting peppered about DeMar DeRozan from Hawk after the Heat just blew a 17-point lead.
Redemption.
Routine trade. Bring in DeRozan.
Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. It is like low 70s. Tonight, the lows will be in the 60s. That is your weather.
All right, don't go anywhere. We've still got more to get to. We are going to play some Talk About a Tuesday later on in the program today, and we'll give away those George Lopez tickets as well.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Opinion is the jungle between knowledge and ignorance.
Hawk and Crowder.
This is Kenny Loggins. He is 77 years old today.
Hey, Kenny.
Hit after hit from Kenny Loggins. Very well done. You got it. Fun time of year to grab a meal or grab a beer at Twin Peaks. So much going on. Football, basketball, hockey, MMA, you name it. Saturday, January 18th is UFC 311. And you can get ready for UFC 311 at Twin Peaks. Be there for an epic night of fights. Don't miss out on the best seats in the house and the ultimate fight night experience. Grab your fight buddies and get ready for a knockout night at Twin Peaks. UFC 311, January 18th. No one does happy hour like Twin Peaks. Whatever your preference, they've got everything from tequila cocktails and an extensive bourbon category to top shelf spirits and cocktails served over ice balls, local craft beers. So many great cocktails round out an adventurous drink menu second to none. If you are a bourbon lover, by the way, a bourbon connoisseur at Twin Peaks, they're proud to offer an exclusive and extensive collection of some incredibly rare bourbons, whiskeys, and tequilas. Plus, check out their barrel selects that are hand-picked by their team and bottled just for you. Supply is limited. Check with your favorite location to see what they're pouring. There's 6 Twin Peaks around South Florida for you to enjoy. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views. Yes, sir. Let's listen to Mike McDaniel. Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer met with the media today. One of the things that we were talking about briefly is Mike McDaniel talking about you know, I'm finding players. They're coming late. There's only so much I can do, and people need to take responsibility for themselves. And I only want to play this clip because I saw, you know, Will Manso had tweeted it out and saying, well, hey, this is more of a reflection on you than it is players not adhering to rules and regulations and you finding them, and the fines don't mean anything nowadays. But here's Mike McDaniel today.
Find people until they're blue in the face. I can take their money. I can yell at them. But until they understand that part of the reason that we're in the position is controllable, and we have to, with absolute certainty and a zero tolerance for anything else, we have to clean the controllables up, and we can have a chance to have success together. So certain specific individuals that, you know, I don't think it was across the board. There's a lot of guys that, you know, had certain fines before that didn't have any. There were some people that had multiple that, you know, I think there's different ways to kind of counteract that. Bringing it up as a team and continue to find guys wasn't enough. So I'm not going to continue to just place all blame on even some of the small list of individuals that were multiple offenders. I'm going to adjust my process and make sure that it's team-wide knowledge. Anytime that things are done that aren't in the best interest of winning football games.
And take away their wedding cake.
And I, the easy thing to say, because when you sent it earlier, I listened to it. Easy thing to say would be like respect, like they don't respect McDaniel, because that's what it is. Like, yeah, fine me $10,000. I'm making $20 million this
right,
year. Like,
right.
That's what he's kind of saying. But it's not that. It's more to the point of respecting your teammates and respecting the goal that you have set. I didn't, when I played, the reason that I was never late, it wasn't for Nick Saban or Tony Sperano or Cam Cameron. It was for Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor and Ronnie Brown.
The problem is, what if the Zach Thomases and Jason Taylors are the ones coming late, which you would imagine it's the Tyreek Hills, like it's the guys who are supposedly the captains and the team leaders.
And we talked about that with Tyreek, where I don't think yesterday you read Chris Perkins and Omar Kelly's stuff about Tyreek. Like, Tyreek doesn't strike me as a team captain. Like, I'm not – if Tyreek stands up to talk, I'm going to be like, just run fast and catch that ball. Like, I joke about Joey Harrington all the time when he got the job from Dante Culpepper. We don't respect you. Like, I don't care what you're about to say. Guys coming in late is that you have a structural problem with the leadership council, is what it was called when I played. Nick Saban set it up. Well, you can say what you want about Saban, but he knows how to construct an organization. Nick Saban didn't have just one leader, JT, go do it. He had a leadership council. And if guys started coming late, like the OGs got on him. Nick Saban didn't come down there and cuss out a third round defensive tackle. That's below him. Hey guys, tighten up your locker room. That conversation that Mike McDaniel's having about coming late, that your locker room's not tightened up and they don't have the OGs that are there, a Calais Campbell. That's what I would say. My first thing popped in my mind was, hey, young boy keeps coming late. Calais, go talk to him. That's how it was when I played. I don't know how the locker rooms are now, but that's, I think, the structural problem of this conversation about guys coming late would be that OG that got to go cuss their ass out.
By the way, Antonio Pierce has been fired by the Las Vegas Raiders. We kind of saw that coming, but it is now official. Yeah. 4 o'clock hour is coming up. We're going to give away George Lopez tickets between 4 and 6 o'clock, play a little Talk About It Tuesday, and continue to talk about the Dolphins and the Heat.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
This stuff is hard, and you got to stay together if you got the guts and you don't find the first door and run out of it.
Hawk and Crowder.